Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a great day. You're listening to or watching the Service Business Mastery podcast. And today's show, we have a guest that has not been on the show in a very long time. His name's Joshua Crouch.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome to the show, Josh.
Oh, thanks for having me on. This is such a treat to be back on the Service Business something podcast.
Yeah, whatever.
For real. It feels like a while, man.
It's been like a year, it feels like. At least 6 months.
I can see every time I watch you live without me, you look like a sad puppy dog.
I'm like, man, lost. I'm missing my friend. No, but for real, we have Rob Dubay on the show today, and he is co-author with Gino Wickman on their new book, Shine, 10 Disciplines for Maximizing Your Energy, Impact, and Inner Peace. So as an entrepreneur, chasing down and making sure that you find that inner peace. That thing is, it evades me sometimes. I don't know, my inner warrior always wants to just get out and rip souls apart, especially whenever I see Josh and his little smirk.
We won't go into it, but like yesterday was one of those days. We were texting back and forth, and that was one of those days, like, inner warrior was out. And it's like,
oh yeah,
I'm going to tear up the world.
There was so much that we could have gone in the wrong direction. And at the end of the day, Julie and I just kind of chuckled about things that we have no control over. And I remember thinking back whenever I was, you know, so freaking broke, dirt floor poor, that like, if I just had this X, Y, and Z money, I could do this and I'd be set. I'd be wonderful. And then like, the more money you make, the more problems you have. Type situation. I don't know. Anyways, and Josh, you're very familiar with Traction and Gino Wickman and EOS, right? Like, you've done some.
Yeah, no, we're sitting here before the show, and I'm we're talking to Rob and getting to know him a little bit, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm writing a book with Gino, and we're business partners, and I'm like, oh, I'm goofing around because I honestly had no idea who Rob was.
Josh was not prepared for today's show. We're just thankful that Josh is here in our presence for today's show.
Barely. Like, last night I woke up at like 3 a.m. My jaw from my wisdom teeth being pulled out was like, it was like throbbing in the middle of the night. So I took
him. At least you're not drooling on yourself.
Not yet. So. If I do, just cut me off camera. But no, I'm super excited to talk with Rob because I've read several of Gino's books, and he's had some different co-authors and stuff through the years with Traction, Rocket Fuel. And there's several in the EOS series that even our team has read. So every time I read one of his books and learn something. So I'm super interested to hear Rob and his story and how that kind of all came about. And, you know, finding inner peace as an entrepreneur, I think anyone that's listening knows that is a constant challenge to find something that like just you just like satisfy yourself. Because sometimes there's people that just never satisfy. It doesn't matter how successful, how much money, how many cars, how many houses. None of that stuff matters. They keep needing more. And to the point where they just can't figure out why they're not happy.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, 100%. So I'm tired of listening to you. So let's bring Rob on. Hey, Rob, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's great to see you too.
Long time no see.
I saw you. I'm like, God, these guys, you know, people sitting there waiting to come on the show. Just must think.
No, I figured that out prior too.
I'm just kidding. Wait till the show happens.
So like, what did my publicist sign me up
Rob's
for?
Rob's on my team.
Like, why am I on this podcast with these two knuckleheads?
Well, welcome to the show, Rob. Can you tell everyone your background? And I want to add something. Like, I'm reading the description of Shine, and it's a groundbreaking approach to work-life balance and peace of mind. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and they basically were like, I don't believe in work-life balance. I believe that that terminology is a myth. Then I have another friend of mine who was like, I just wish that I was okay. I could just be satisfied with like less than what I have now. Like no matter what goal I get to, I set for myself, as soon as I achieve that goal, I'm still not okay. Like my inner peace is just not there. So with that being said, if you would share a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So let me just start with background. I begged the guys not to read my bio so we could just have an organic conversation. But my entrepreneurial journey started when I was in ninth grade, where my best friend and I started selling blow pop lollipops out of our locker. We'd buy them for a nickel and resell them for a quarter. I like to tell that story because I'll bet you guys in some way relate to it, as do probably a ton of your listeners, because they did something like that. And then we had all kinds of crazy businesses through high school and college, probably just like you guys and your listeners. And then we graduated from college barely and jumped into this world of entrepreneurship. We started selling remanufactured toner cartridges for laser printers back in 1991.
Wow.
Then we evolved our company, which is called Image One, into a managed print services company that sells copiers and multifunction printers. It's still around. I don't run it anymore. My business partner and I have a CEO who's running the company. So for the first 8 years, it was crazy. You know, I'm sure many can relate. We were so disorganized. We didn't have any structure in place. We were tripping over each other. We were growing somehow. I have no idea, but that was happening. We met Gino Wickman. We were introduced to him through a friend, and he had just sold his family business and started this other business where he was going to help entrepreneurs gain control of their businesses. And so we brought him in, and I was pretty skeptical, I have to tell you. Even in our first meeting, I was sitting there going, I'm not sure about this. By the way, it's called EOS, but it wasn't called that back then. I don't even know if it had a name back then. So he was just experimenting with us. We were literally one of his first seven clients. And if you've ever read the book Traction, you'll see that we're in there, as we are in every single. Do you remember seeing Image One in there?
Well, now I got to go back and read it, because I was going
to
ask.
Good job, Josh. Way to not pick up on that one, Josh.
I remember you said the name Image One. I'm like, oh man, I've definitely heard that name before. But
that's right. Because we've been in every book, which is really, I say that humbly. And it was an honor, and it is an honor. So, you know, he really did help us gain control of our business, and we embraced the EOS process. And that was in 1999. Fast forward 4 or 5 years, around 2004, we were approached by a public company who was interested in acquiring us, and we sold the company. And we stayed on. We had a 3-year contract. Typical story. You've probably heard it before. And once you know it, 18 months later, the whole thing was a mess, and they wanted to sell it back to us. So we bought it back at a discount. It was a great deal, but it was dumb luck. I just have to be honest about that. But I like to share that part of the story for two reasons. First, we're at the top of the mountain. It was so exciting to sell the business, cash out, have some cash in our bank. You know, I mean, those early years were rough, you know, God, they were rough and stressful and anxiety. That's how I felt. And I know my business partner felt the same way. Buying it back was also exciting. And it was a time for us to, you know, really try to decide, like, how do we want to do this differently? I mean, how could we, you know, take a step back and say, where could we improve on what we had built up until now? And so what we decided was to really put a strong focus on our culture and the totality of our team members' lives. And we put a lot of emphasis and inspiration that came from a book called Small Giants. Companies that choose to be great instead of big. And so we put that focus, and every single day we woke up with a mission to provide genuine care to everyone, every day, every time. And we've been doing that ever since. Along the way, about, let's call it 6-7 years ago, I realized I had hit a ceiling. I wasn't going to be useful to the company anymore. And I convinced my business partner that he wouldn't be useful to the company anymore.
I can imagine having that conversation. It's like, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I feel like I've hit a ceiling. And hey, by the way, you suck too. So you got to get out too.
Just some new energy needed to come in. We just knew it. So we kind of put it out there to our network and said, we're looking for somebody who could succeed us. And we, wouldn't you know it, we found the right person and put a succession plan in place. And there we were again. We were able to transition out of the company. And now we have somebody who's much more capable, much smarter, who can take the company to the next level. And so we are in what's called an EOS language in the owner's box. And we are off doing separate things, one of which you guys mentioned kind of at the outset. I have a partnership with Gino Wickman. We had a longstanding friendship from all those years and got to learn a lot about each other and each other's journeys. And so now we've come together and created a program. A virtual coaching program that helps people learn the 10 disciplines to maximize their energy and impact in inner peace. And we have a book coming out. Thank you for mentioning that earlier, called Shine.
So let me ask you a question, Rob. What was it like stepping away from the business? Like, because it was your baby. It was the two of you's baby. And even not just stepping away from a business, but like when you transition from the person or the two people who do everything to even giving some of that responsibility over to a new person, and it's like, this person's not going to do this as good as I am. How do I find somebody who's just like me?
First of all, my approach, so I'm just speaking from my own experience, but I know I work with driven entrepreneurs all the time, so I understand that question deeply. My identity is not wrapped up in what I'm doing. And yeah. So that's number one. And that's the first thing I would share to anybody who's listening is, you know, watch out for your identity to become your business. You are not your business. Your business is just a vehicle to provide great products and services to the marketplace and hopefully provide a living to your family and the many people that you employ. And so you are not your business. And the second thing is, you're not the best at it. There's somebody better. And if you can accept that, you can have greater awareness to when you hit your ceiling. If you truly want to grow your business, you will likely hit a ceiling at some point. And I don't care if it's in the millions, the tens of millions, the hundred millions, or the billions. At some point, unless you're a unicorn, and they're out there, but you're probably not it. And so at some point, you have to accept that I'm not the right person anymore.
You're bruising my ego. It says, dang, Rob, I want to go back and like not do this interview. You're bruising my ego real hard this morning.
You know, it deflate my head over here.
I feel so much worse about myself already.
Well, the first thing is awareness.
I like you, Rob. I like you.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Right. You got to admit you got a problem. These are great topics because honestly, Rob, I felt this way. Like, it's funny because both Tersh and I work with our wives, and Brittany is able to separate much better than I am. Like, I get consumed sometimes with identity, what people are saying, if a client leaves, things like that. And
no, you do not. You do not fight with people on the internet.
No,
that is not you, Josh.
But you know, understanding that about myself, sometimes I'm like, well, that's just, you know, it's just who I am. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel the same way because I see it online. I see it with different conversations. I mean, how do you get to the point where you can like separate those things? Because I do feel like that is me. Like, honestly, you said that. I'm like, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
That's who I am. I try. I work. You know, you think you're working on it, but I don't know if you focus on the right things or.
Yep. So we have a process to help with that. So we encourage you to go to our website, the10disciplines.com, and take what's called the true self-assessment. And that'll give you some insight as to where you are with some of these things. Because the next part of this is getting to understand yourself. And we have 10 disciplines that I mentioned that really help you do that. They help you understand yourself. And once you understand yourself better, you can begin to protect yourself or create boundaries in your life. And once those boundaries are in place, you can have the space in your mind and the time in your life to really recognize where you should be putting your efforts and your energy. And because you have talents, you have great talents. The problem is you're not using them all the time. You're using other things that aren't your best talents because you won't let go. and you won't delegate and elevate, which is an EOS term, but also used in many other ways, you know, said different ways. It's nothing new. You all know that. It just, sometimes we forget, you know, we just can't let go. Why can't we let go? Because we're driven. We are unique in that we're driven, because 10% in the book Driven by Dr. Doug Brackman, he writes that about 10% of the population is driven. So let's just take the population of the world, which I think is 8 billion to 8.5 billion, something like that. Let me use 8 billion. So let's just take 10% of that's 800 million. And we're all not, all 800 million are entrepreneurs. They're scientists and, you know, they have all kinds of different jobs and modalities and things of that nature. But of the entrepreneurial set, you're in a very small percentage of the overall population. So it's important to notice that. So why am I so driven? It's in your DNA. You are never satisfied. You are always moving forward. You're always looking for the next thing. When you hit one of your goals, you revel in it for like an hour. And then you're like, okay, what do I need to do next? And
I was going to say 5 minutes, but
okay, right. I was even stretching on that. And you take that goal and you say, I'm ready to 10X that goal. That was even too easy. You know, so we're just constantly moving forward. What happens with this? Well, if we're not self-aware, we don't realize that we're leaving a black trail behind us because we're running so fast. Nobody can keep up with us and we can't understand why. So we feel crazy. The people behind us think we're crazy and it's a big mess.
I agree 100%. I've been in this situation where it's like, all right, you're on my team. I feel like I communicate pretty well. And
that's right.
You're not keeping up. Like, why do I have to keep repeating myself over and over again? We have a vision statement. We have a mission statement. We know where we're headed. What's going on here? And we reach these targets and like, they're like, well, we reached these targets for the year so we can set it on cruise control. Like, no, the targets changed. And they're like, you're never satisfied, dude. You always move the goal line. And it's like, I guess I realize that. I don't like that, but it happens.
And with that, like there's so, and Rob, I realize that you're not in our smaller industry of HVAC, home and electrical. Sure. Like for instance, so Tersh and I won an award at a banquet for podcast of the year. And honestly, it was like literally after that, we're like, okay, what's next? Like we celebrated for a little bit and it's like, okay, what are we doing this year? That's what it felt like.
I mean, that evening, the evening of the event. All right, what's next? What are we going to do now?
How can we up-level this?
Yeah, it's honestly, it feels like a sickness sometimes. Like I've looked at like when you actually think about like,
should I be diagnosed with something?
There's something wrong with us as entrepreneurs and stuff that it's like, why can't we like feel happier for longer before we have to tackle the next thing?
You can. You can. That's what we're trying to teach you. That's what we are teaching you. So you say it feels like a sickness. That's so perfect. It's a blessing and it's a curse. And the curse part feels like a sickness. And so, you know, you have to go, I go back to understanding yourself. You're right now, I see it in your faces. The light bulbs are going off. You're like, oh, I understand myself better now. Now with self-awareness, you might just a little bit, like even if you move the needle like 10%, have a little bit more self-awareness of the impact that you're having on yourself in both your mind and your body, and also the people who work with you. And I go behind like this because these are the people that can't keep up with you. And they're like, why do you keep moving the goal line? You know, why do you keep doing that? You know?
So Jennifer, she actually was at the award show as well. She said she wants to train the world alone for free. But she teaches others in the HVAC world, and she owns an HVAC company up in Maine, I believe. And so she's been doing this, like she's works, runs her business, does her own thing. And then she is teaching a whole bunch of future technicians as well. So she's super driven to grow our industry and grow the awareness of the trades and how valuable they are as an industry. And so, yeah, she makes, I want to say, give a huge shout out.
You're speaking to her too, it looks like, from her comments.
So, here's the last comment that she just made.
Validating myself because nobody else does. That's good. That's good. That's because when you're a driven entrepreneur, there's nobody around to validate you. You're constantly looking for it. I mean, that's, we're always looking. Am I doing a good job? Because who's around to tell you you're doing a good job until you win the best podcast award? And then you feel like you did something. And you feel like it was meaningful because somebody recognized it. This is the way our minds work.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Jennifer won Woman of the Year.
That's so cool. But was she Woman of the Year before she won it? Yes, she was. She just didn't realize it. This is what I'm trying to say to you all.
How do you survive without the validation? And what happens? Oh, Lady of the Trade. That's what she won.
That sounds like something from like Sir Lancelot, like Lady of the Lake or something. You know, it sounds
Lady of the Trade. Sounds,
what do you do like if your spouse is not one that, I guess, toots your horn? Like, because my wife, like everybody that's ever been to an event, they all know that like she's my biggest cheerleader ever. But what happens if you're in a relationship where that the person that's with you is not that way? Like how do you handle that? Like I feel like that becomes a argument point, a pain point for the relationship whenever, because you're an entrepreneur and you seek that validation, but you're not going to get it from, like you said, you're not going to get it from a lot of people. Maybe your employees are that way. Maybe your employees are like, hey, you're doing a great job. But for me, like I brought a couple people into our business that have never been in the trades and they've never experienced a bad situation. And like there's other employees or other team members that have said, you complain about the little things because you don't realize how good things are. And like, if you've been somewhere where it really sucks, you would really appreciate how great it is here. And I'm like, well, I don't want you to think about it like that, but yeah, I guess that's kind of how it is. But like, then there's, so that those people aren't the ones that kind of sing my praises. It's the ones who've been in terrible working conditions. And they're like, man, I really appreciate the things that you're doing. I'm like, but I'm just being a human. I'm treating you like a human, like I'm not doing anything great. And so then it's almost a self-sabotage on my behalf of being like, I don't want the praises, but in reality you kind of,
but you do. Yeah. So I'll put you on the spot. I'll ask you a few questions. Why do you need the praise? Why do you need the validation? What does that do for you? What's missing?
That's a great question.
I know where you can find an assessment to find out.
The10disciplines.com.
There you go. Thank you for that.
The10disciplines.com.
I might need to go do that little self-assessment thing.
Thank you for that.
Oh, it's already up on my screen. I know exactly what I'm doing after the show.
That's why you haven't been saying anything, Josh. You've been over here typing and you're like...
He's been taking the assessment.
I'm trying not to because I'm a loud typer according to church. So I have to be real quiet.
Yeah, the assessment takes like 4 to 5 minutes tops and you get your results instantaneously to your email. And then, of course, we're always happy to go through it with you. But no, I say it in kind of a funny way, but I also mean it seriously in that, you know, these are the things we want to ask ourselves is, why am I searching outside for what I already have inside? You already have what you need in there.
That self-validation, is that what you mean? Like that you have that ability to be okay with it, that inner peace?
You do. It's always in there. It was with you the day you were born. You came out and you were fine until everybody started to tell you, hey, get over here and you better do it this way. And this is the way you ought to think. And this is the way you need to do that, et cetera, et cetera. And so then you wanted to please everybody. Oh, okay, I'm doing it. Does it look good? Or I did it. It didn't do it right. Now I'm going to go against the grain and that's going to be my thing. Your whole life, all of ours, it's not just yours. It's our whole life. The second we came out, that's what started to happen. But when we were born, we were fine.
Does it or does it not require some sort of trauma in your life? Like, are you saying that just the fact of being raised in an environment, in a society where everybody needs to please everyone else is enough of the quote unquote trauma? Or do you, like Jennifer said, like childhood trauma for me, is that what it takes to trigger something like that?
So as driven entrepreneurs, we write in the book that there are 5 common traits that come along with a driven entrepreneur. They've had bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy at some point. They've had heightened levels of anxiety, depression, a traumatic experience as a child or young adult, and they oftentimes have addictions and addictions are anything that you do in excess. Work is an addiction, by the way, and you probably know all the other ones, but and you probably know work too. So back to your question, trauma, little t, it can be referred to. So there was a little thing that happened, but it stuck with you, or there was a big thing. I had big things happen in my life. I had a lot of abuse growing up, and it was, you know, it really caused a lot of angst for me as I got into my adulthood. And I had to work very hard on releasing that trauma. We also have imprints, and those imprints are kind of what I was sharing to you. It's kind of like how you've been, how you were brought up, and the different things you were, the different things that were, you know, brought into your world and the way you started to see the world. You know, I always like to use the example, if you travel to a new place in the world and you're walking around and your eyes are wide open because it's a new way of seeing and thinking the way things are.
Yeah.
Because we're in our little bubble, in our little town, in our little country, our little state, in our little country, you know, and I love our country. Please don't, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying we are in bubbles. Yeah. We all are. I mean, that's just how it is.
Even just so walking through town versus driving through town, the things, it's like,
totally. Wow. Yeah. You start to see things. That's such a great example. You don't have to go to a different culture. You can walk through and see things. Yeah.
Jen said, don't at me like that. Don't start talking about me. Don't talk to me directly, Rob.
I'll leave you out of it, Jen.
It's so, she's right though. Like as entrepreneurs, we all are feeling exactly what you're saying. When you were going through your list, those lists of five things that like, I can think of every single one of them, except for the last one. Whenever you said addiction, I was like, well, I don't have any kind of an addiction issue. Like I have friends who have been addicted to things. And you say, well, work's an addiction. I was like,
we don't
well,
think about
hell,
it that way.
I guess I do work 20 hours a day. True. And I mean, but that's what's required when you have three businesses and like you still have friends in that industry. But you make a really good point there.
Well, here's the question, and this is one of the things we teach, is have three businesses, work your butt off, you know, as many hours as you feel like you need to do, where you can still have the best energy possible to show up your best in your life, meaning when you're not at work. The big challenge for driven entrepreneurs is when they're not at work, meaning like doing their work or at their office or whatever, they're at home, they are still at work. Their mind's at work.
I thought that was normal.
Like, I totally feel that.
Like, for a driven entrepreneur,
everybody,
it is normal.
Yeah, I sit on the couch watching a movie and I'm thinking about
you can't turn it off. You need the dopamine hit.
Okay.
You can't turn it off. And we want to talk about getting to a more peaceful place. You're at a more peaceful place when you can turn it off, because you have to turn it off. You, as I mentioned earlier, you have some very unique talents in this world and you're not maximizing them, I promise you, because you only have a few and you're not spending the proper amount of time and the proper amount of energy on those, because you're doing a million other things that aren't really your best talent.
So what do you say to somebody who is at the point in their business that they can't afford to outsource those tasks that they aren't the best at doing?
You have to get to a place where you can start delegating. You have to make an investment. It's part of entrepreneurship, or you're always going to be at the ceiling. You're going to run yourself ragged and you're going to burn yourself out. And by the way, when you're burnt out, it's too late, because you don't see burnout coming. It just hits you. I have had so many conversations with driven entrepreneurs who tell me on the weekend, they literally have trouble getting out of bed because they are so exhausted. Yep. They can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And
I've read studies that said that it takes 5 to 7 years to recover from burnout, and burnout can happen like that.
I haven't heard that study, but it doesn't surprise me. It takes so much time and it's exhausting. But you know what we do during burnout? Because we're so driven.
Still burnout
even more.
We just
keep going. Yeah,
and that's why it takes so long to recover from it, because you don't stop.
Right.
You're like, all right, well, I'm in it. So let's just eat the pain and go through.
But you have, as a driven entrepreneur, you kind of have to decide what you really want out of this whole thing. There's a reason you got into it, okay? Maybe it's because you're unemployable. That's usually the case, yeah, okay? You just can't work for somebody. Mm-hmm. Why can't you work for somebody? Because you want to be in control. Why do you want to be in control? Well, there's something that happened at some point in your life that was, I want control. And so we get into this thinking we're in control when the reality is we're not.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so like for us to be in control, like want and desire to be in control, what I'm hearing you say is that we're never going to get to the point where we can hand off the reins to anyone else if we don't do this inner reflection. Right. We'll always want to be the CEO unless we can figure out internally how to get that peace so that we can relinquish the control.
And maybe you will always be the CEO, and maybe you're one of those people that will 10x or whatever it is your big goals are, which I'm all for, by the way, and you will be that person. But the only way you're going to do that is by understanding yourself better and starting to create boundaries so you're focused on your special talent. You know, so in your business, I don't know much about it, okay, but I have had to use HVAC services. Okay, so there's a person, let's say they start a business, they're really good at coming into the household or to commercial and getting things set up and doing the tactical work, I guess, that needs to be done. But then there's the actual running of the business. There's the finance aspect of it. There's the operations side of it. And then there's the sales and marketing side of it. Are you able to oversee all that, or are you really at your heart the best technician, or I don't know what the person would be called, service person?
Yeah, service.
Because maybe that's where you should be putting all your energy and have somebody above you, yes, above you, even though you own the company, who is running the finance side of things and running sales and marketing, and they have such great talent that they're able to lift the company up and lift you up and all the team members along with you, if your goals are to grow the company. And you have to know if you want to grow the company.
That's such a hard thing though, Rod. Like you think about, like, you started the company, right? This is your baby that you gave birth to. And admitting to your, like, that's probably got to be one of the hardest things you can do in business, is admit that, because we've seen it. Tersh and I know business owners who are fantastic technicians or salespeople, but they have no business leading a team and making sure that team has what they need. But it is so true. And I know I'm guilty of some of that stuff. Like, there's certain things I stick my nose in and I'm like, I know I shouldn't be in here, but I just, like, it's like, I can't help myself. I it's my baby. I got to know everything that's going on.
That's right. We're control freaks. We are. We have to know everything. We have to have this. Sometimes we just like being wanted, you know, being the person who can answer all the questions. That feeds
ego.
That ego. That feeds our...
Tersh loves it. Tersh loves it when his... I see Tony on here. Tersh loves when you call him with all your questions.
No, I do
so
not.
So make sure you dial him as much as possible during the day with every stupid question.
About man, that's probably been... It's 2015. My ego bursted. Like, I came to a point in my life where I no longer was accepting phone calls as technicians, because... We as business owners who used to be technicians, we love being tech support. It feeds our ego. Like, look, you couldn't figure out how to fix this service call unless you called me. And that's all that's doing is driving.
You throw your
ego.
Cape on.
I'm or in saving your case, the day.
Suit, and you fly. You save the day and you fly to be the hero.
The thing that broke me was the day that I received 136 phone calls in one day. Do the math on that.
Wow.
How do you answer that many phone calls? Nonstop, back to back. And I was like, all I am is just an extension of everybody out in the field. And I said, no longer. You must call me. If you call me, you must have three solutions as well to the problem. And if you don't have three solutions, even if they're not amazing solutions, I'm hanging up on you. And I told the whole team this. And I they're like, yeah, okay. You're going to go from 136 phone calls to none. We don't believe it. So they call me. I mean, just as soon as they left the meeting, they called me and I was like, all right, well, what's the problem that you have? And what's your three solutions? Oh, I don't have any. Click. And then they call back. oh, I think we got disconnected. No, what's your three solutions? I don't have any. Click. They're like, all right, I get it. Then they call me back with three solutions. And I was like, oh, okay, that's good. At least I know you put forth some effort to do the work. And now it's not me fixing everything for y'all. And so it was a massive ego check on my behalf for sure. Mm-hmm. But it freed me up from not being the person that needed to talk to everybody and answer everybody's questions and solve everybody's problems, to now I can be the entrepreneur and I can dream about things that, you know, yeah, growing, and I can, you know, make plans for the future. Whereas before it was just, okay, we're going to just reactively grow because people are happy. And like, just by, you know, growth by osmosis, just growth by mistake instead of intention.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, I have a question. So going through the EOS process, we've been going through Delegate and Elevate, which obviously is, you know, kind of part of some, at least some of the step where we're like, what do we really love? What do we not love? And then we start handing things off. But what I found is, so the stuff that I've handed off, like my operations manager has taken some of those things over. Well, guess who has been the hero now? The operations manager has, she's getting so many questions and they're funneling to her. And so it's one thing to like do it as a CEO, but advice or guidance you have, because what happens is if the CEO removes himself and get, you know, puts a couple people in place, it's still like, it feels like it kind of hits the next bottleneck and then the next one until the point, like everyone in the organization starts to understand this. But how do you start getting that down to the different layers of the business, especially as the business grows?
So just so I understand your question, are you asking how does everybody understand who's responsible for what and who's, you know, in the case of the operations person, how does everybody understand that it actually flows to her and not you anymore?
Well, no. So it is flowing to her.
Yeah.
And she is taking care of a lot of the questions that came to me. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is she doesn't have enough time now and she's working a lot of hours and stuff like that. So getting it filtered out to, so that way these things that we're talking about, it's not just to help myself, not just to help my wife, but to help the whole team. So everybody is more aligned with what they are the best at or what they're really good at and gives them energy and passion versus, well, I'm just going to take care of this because I'm kind of the filter before it gets to the boss.
Right. Yeah. No, that's such a good question. So let me come from a place of experience because I'm not an EOS implementer and I have nothing to do with EOS. I only ran EOS and it still runs on my company Image One that I mentioned at the outset. So I have a lot of experience with this. And what ends up happening is, and if I could use your example with your operations person, so now she becomes overwhelmed. So she has to now learn to do what you did. And she has to learn how to delegate and elevate. And she has to look at her team, which seemed good at the time. And it may still be, by the way, I'm not suggesting it's not. But if she doesn't have the ability to up-level herself by delegating some of these tasks or empowering other people and trusting them to follow through and get the job done, it's a time to start looking at the team because maybe certain people have hit a ceiling where they were great before, but the company grew and now the company's outgrowing them. So there's a thing in EOS called right fit, right seat. So maybe they're the right fit in the sense that they exude the company's values, but they're not in the right seat anymore. They were really good when it was just this, but with these added responsibilities, it's not working out like it used to. So now your operations person has to have the awareness that you have. And again, this isn't a growing company and it's going to happen constantly, you know, because everybody can't grow at that pace. And there isn't always a place for somebody to go if they hit a ceiling. So sometimes it's a matter of having to have a hard conversation and make a mindful transition. Other times they step up when they're given the responsibility. That's the ultimate, by the way.
Yeah.
Solid training.
Yeah. And I think the thing, so, you know, obviously being CEO and being very inquisitive, and Tersh is the same way. We like to learn. Like I will 10 disciplines. I already have it up on the site. I totally plan on doing this afterwards. I'll probably read the book. Like I want to learn because we want to grow. We can, that eagerness to constantly evolve and to get better and better and better. It's kind of part of the whole driven entrepreneurship sure. thing. Like we just, we know we don't know everything. So we just want to keep absorbing. Like there's not enough time in the day to absorb everything that we want to learn.
Speak for yourself, Josh. I know everything.
No, he doesn't. Newsflash. I should put that on the ticker at the bottom. Tersh doesn't know everything. Like getting that down, because you know that. So the team is working through their stuff, and they have a lot of responsibilities throughout the day. And they may not. I'm sure everybody likes to learn. Like they all. I think human nature would like to learn new things. Depending on you know maybe not exactly the thing that we want to learn, or maybe it's something outside of work. But getting those skills taught down to the team, so that way the team does the same thing. Because honestly, for me, I'd love everyone on the team to delegate and elevate because it uplifts everybody. And that way we have, let's say we have 25 people in our company right now, 25 people doing what they love. I mean, it sounds like the best place to work in the world. I know it's not, you know, it's not always possible, but trying to filter that down.
Isn't that an oxymoron? Like Josh's business being the best place to work in the world. Like that's like jumbo shrimp.
You know what I would say to that, by the way, is not everybody can delegate and elevate. There are some roles in a company where they just have to do that work, and that's the work they have to do. There's no place to delegate.
Yeah, like a service technician can't delegate their work to someone else.
At Image One, we have a whole slew of service technicians, and there's nothing for them to delegate and elevate. They need to go out and do the service work. Yeah. And that's what happens. Now, some of them want to get into growth positions, management positions. We can put them on that track if they're serious about it. And then they can maybe get to that point. But most of them, and by the way, that's a relief to a lot of people too, by the way, because they just want to do that. They want a simple life. Let me go out and service HVAC. Let me go out and service copiers and multifunction printers. That's all I want to do all day long. Don't make me do anything else.
That's true. Because I guess
that's very true.
When we're looking at it from our perspective, we're like, I don't know how you can't not watch.
Everybody wants to be exactly like me.
Right.
And they're not driven like you. They're driven in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you go back to the 10% of the population. Of course, it's less than that.
So you got it. Interesting. You got it. They aren't driven like you. They don't want to grow. They don't all want to professionally grow. They want to have some just want to have a very simple and basic life, which is awesome, by the way. I admire that. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So my buddy Lance, that's one of the things that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. He was like, I wish that I could be satisfied with this. Like, I wish that I could be okay with living in the first house I ever bought. I just wish that was okay. We talk about this all the time, especially like we're sitting around a campfire on a Saturday night and we're like, man, why can't we just be happy with what we have? They're like, I don't know, dude, but now I can take your book and give it to him and say, here, read this.
That's right.
Don't ask me that again.
Well, he's climbing a mountain. And what we write about in the book is that there's no mountain. If you want a different house, go get a different house. Good for you, whatever the reason. But if you're constantly climbing, you're climbing something that isn't there. It's not going to satisfy you. Your house will make you happy for 2 years tops. And then you're going to start seeing all the other better houses that you think you want to be in. Your car, your this, your trips, your accolades.
I wish Brittany would make it 2 years before she started looking at those other houses that look nicer.
We're wired a certain way. I get it.
Same with cars.
And by the way, I want you to keep getting your new houses, your new trips and your new things and your accolades. I want that for you. But I want you to come from a place of peace, of coming from your heart and not be driving yourself towards those external rewards because they don't bring you peace. So we say
you can
be driven and have peace, and you have to get in the right mindset around that. So when you're driven and you have peace, success comes to you with more ease. Then you'll get the house. You won't feel like you're climbing so hard for it. It's just going to come because there's ease there. You let go. You know that feeling in your life. It's fleeting. We've felt it before where you just feel ease and things just happen and they come and you go with it. You don't.
It's been years and years since I've had that feeling, that sensation. Yeah. Well, I remember thinking back, looking at, and I can, and just when you said that, I was thinking back whenever I felt that. And it was like, it was there. And I remember vividly, like 100%. I remember when it happened, I was like, this is it. I've made it, because things are going smooth. Like, things are just rocking and rolling. I'm satisfied. Yeah, we have problems. We have hiccups in the business, but they're not derailing my day ever. And it's just being taken care of, and I don't have to worry about it. And we're still growing, and we're still, you know, like, we're more profitable now. This is it. I made it. And then it was like 6 months later, it was like, nope, just kidding.
You know, we talk about 10-year thinking, where we shift our mind from short-term thinking to thinking in 10-year timeframes. And you prompted that for me, because there's a 10-year business cycle, and it's, you can go back in history and see this. So in a 10-year period of time, you're going to have two horrible years that could literally put you out of business. You're going to have six really good years, like decent, strong years. And you're going to have 2 years where you just knock it out of the park. Okay, so you have to be prepared for the two really down years. And it's not always two. It could be 18, you know, it could be 18 months. It could be 3 years, whatever.
Could be 6 years. Like,
so what I'm hearing you say, Rob, is only be in business for 8 years and you get to choose the best eight years.
Right. But
okay, I got it.
I have to tell you, as driven entrepreneurs, I'll tell you what happens. Those 2 years that are just kicking butt, we forget that there's the other 2 years, and we forget about the six good years. We begin to believe that these two amazing years are the new normal that's always going to happen. Double digit growth, you know, hiring, it's all good. It's profitability at the top. And then there's always something that just brings it to a halt. Boom. And you're just like, boom, what happened? We were cruising.
Rob, I hate the fact that you are so right. Because it's so true. Like, I vividly remember that. And then you're just like, yeah, this is the new norm. Yep. We're going to rock and roll. We're going to kick butt and take names.
Yeah, let's go all in. Here's my chips. Let's go.
And then you hit the other 2 years, and it's like, man, maybe this is it. Maybe I should stop now.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
That's why the Denver Broncos, John Elway, retired after winning two Super Bowls. He had his two best years and he retired on top. Yeah. So
you could do that, by the way. That's an option as an entrepreneur. You could sell your business. You can exit.
The problem is you don't know when that is.
Well,
you think it's great. Well, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah, that's true. We all try to figure that out. But yeah, we never really know what the top pricing is, or, you know, multiples are. Yeah.
Rob, I got a question for you. And don't get offended, because you've been in business a long time and a little older than Tersh and I. So
I won't be offended.
So you were, when you originally started your company, we didn't have this thing called social media. And if we did, it was like MySpace or something. As an entrepreneur, because now there's so many additional distractions when it comes to, like, I got to put content out. I got to do this thing. I got to do short form video. I got to do long form video. I got to do blogs. I got to just all this stuff, right?
You got to make a podcast. Your expertise.
I got to make a podcast like this, right? Do you find that it's even harder now with validation? This is based on your experience, not necessarily the book or anything, because you started in the entrepreneurial world before a lot of this stuff really exploded, and now you're still in it, and it's, you know, now we're here and we're podcasts, like we do podcasts every week and short form content and all this type of stuff. Do you find that it's any different, any more difficult than it was maybe 20, 25 years ago?
I mean, social media is, you know, the information is just going so fast, is how I see it. And so, and there's an added component to sales and marketing now, where, you know, you have to be on top of that to the best of your ability, and not all companies are, and we're far from perfect at the 10 disciplines and other companies that I own in Image One. And so I do think there's a layer of complexity, if that's what you're asking. Personally, as it relates to social media, I have chosen to not participate in that. And so that just brings me peace, because there's nothing about social media that does bring me anything.
You know what social media does? It feeds that ego. And
it never fed mine, honestly.
If you can avoid that, then that's a win for me.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Because, like, so, you know, we work all day.
Yeah.
And even when we're not working, we're relaxing, you know, in bed or whatever. I'm scrolling Facebook feed, and guess what's in their groups? Talking about the trades, talking about digital marketing, talking about who they're using, this next thing that someone else is building. And then you're like, oh, I got to build something, right? Because that's what we do. Our brains connect those things and we want to do the next thing and do the next thing. Oh, they're doing really well. I want to do that. Tersh and I are, we text each other all the time about, you see that thing? You see that thing?
We got
it's this constant, this, you know, chasing the rabbit, I guess, is probably.
You might remember me earlier mentioning the dopamine hit. So that's what that's doing for you, because you're a driven entrepreneur and you need dopamine hits, whether it's positive or negative. That's what you need. You're addicted to it is really what it is. We are. That's what happens in business. And I'm very mindful of all this stuff. And sometimes I have a busy day. It's really great. This, that, I'm excited. And then it's time to shut things down and all this. And I'm like, I'm like feeling drawn back to it. Like, I don't want to stop. But you know, I've learned, and I encourage people, and we teach this, is you've got to turn it off. You have to let your mind and body settle. It has to just settle. Imagine your mind for a second being a glass of water that has a cap on the top and there's sand in it, and you shake it up. That's your mind. It's all fuzzy and you can't see through the water. But when you turn it off and settle down, the sand settles and then there's clarity. And we all know what that feels like, because there are times in our life where things do settle down and all of a sudden we're clear. For example, sometimes you two might go on vacation, and I'm sure some of the listeners do. Hopefully you turn it off. Most don't, but hopefully to a certain degree you do. And what starts happening? You have like 1,000 new ideas.
Right.
You're like, you can't wait to get back and tell everybody all your amazing ideas, which, by the way, I hate to break it to you, most of them are really crappy. Okay. And you have no time to.
Rob, would you knock that off? You are killing me today.
Yeah, you know, everybody else has been busting their butt while you were on vacation, and now you come back with 10 ideas and they're like, we can't keep up with what we're doing. There's that driven again, leaving the black trail behind him.
But it's so true. I'm reminded of last year on spring break, and I've referenced this often. We went to Florida, where Brittany's parents are, in the winter in March, and just had a week where I actually shut it down and told the team, like, I'm not available. Like, just, you know, this is, go to Lisa, our ops manager and stuff. And it was literally the best vacation I've ever had. We didn't go anywhere fancy. We didn't do anything special. It was like, I felt good about who I was and who I was being to the kids and Brittany and her family and stuff, because I was like, I had a personality again. I wasn't just so like, oh, I got to get back to this thing and try to do this thing and answer that email.
You weren't arguing with people on Facebook. Rob, we could seriously talk to you for hours. We are honored that you took the time to hang out with us this morning.
You guys are a ton of fun.
We appreciate it.
I really enjoyed it. I see why you won the podcast award.
Well,
there was only one entrance, so they felt
default.
I love your humility. That's so good.
For those who don't know, how can they get your book? How can we learn more about you and all of that stuff?
Just go to the10disciplines.com. The book's there, all about us. Everything that you would need to know is right there. And I encourage everybody to take the assessment. Okay. It's a powerful tool. And do it every 90 days, because it's going to change. It's going to go up and down as your life ebbs and flows.
Good to know. Now, is your book going to be on audio version too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And we have a great bonus material at the end where Gino and I do a 3-hour deep dive into the book.
Wow.
And I interview him, and then we have some back and forth with it. It's a lot of fun. I think you're going to love it.
Is it banter like Josh and I?
No, it's not quite like that. Yeah. That's very brotherly banter. Ours wasn't quite
funny,
like
funny,
that.
Funny story. We've only met each other once in person. So,
I'm not believing that.
Before I came on to the show to co-host with Tersh, I think it was once in person. It was mostly like digital, where we like Facebook and stuff.
Were you arguing with him on Facebook?
He was arguing with everybody in the Facebook. He was arguing, and I was like, hey, Josh, you got to chill out. Like, I was a peacemaker. And then Josh was like, you know what? I need your help. And I was like, yeah, you do. Come on the podcast.
You haven't touched shit for me in 3 years. I'm still the same way. Oh, real quick. Did you, if I missed it, do you have a date when the book is coming
out? Yes, it's March 26th.
Rob, okay, we really appreciate you.
Yep. No, I didn't mention it. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. Yeah. Thank you too.
Yep. Thank you again, Rob. We appreciate you. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.